It's hard to see yourself represented on the silver screen. In a world with less available roles to us, this industry can be so mean. So we're gonna make some changes in this town. Turn the male-driven media upside down. There's nothing that a woman can't do. So act like a girl, we're here to support you.
Hi, Russell Peters saw me perform one time. And extended, you know, and said, took me on the road with him, and he's like, I want to help you. I do want to. So I can't, what I did not find was a lot of support from other women
right.
who were, now I'll say this, I'll be honest. The women who had been doing stand-up longer than I had were not embracing. But my sisters that are in my class, the people that I started doing stand-up with, you know, have always been Tiffany Haddish, Vanessa Braddock, Mika. Like, we have a sisterhood that is very rare because the generation that came before us in comedy, they were very competitive. They were socialized to really hate each other. And so they weren't very embracing because there was a lot of self-hate going on. But I think we are always thinking about, like, how the hell, if somebody calls me and says, hey, can you help me do this? It's always, for me, a second nature because I'd rather see a woman do it than a dude.
Sorry. The whole thing is that you're sorry.
So your experience is a little bit different. You're not a stand-up comic.
No, I'm not a stand-up comic.
So how has mentorship played into your comedy career?
Well, what happened with me is I got lucky when I was, as I said, I was working behind the scenes and I was a production coordinator and I was actually an assistant on a little-known show called The Bernie Mac Show. Bernie Mac actually went to high school with my stepmother and blah, 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 whatever. So he finds out, he was like, wait, you? Oh, you Sterling's daughter? I was like, yeah. So he's like, all right, we family. So I used to make him laugh, too. Like the fact that I could make Bernie Mac laugh was amazing in itself. So anyway, I started taking classes at Groundlings and Improv in the Midwest, and he told me to stop hiding. So I was like, okay. So he actually helped me, and he was very, 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 very instrumental in me, you know, to stop hiding behind, you know, right. a desk and, like, working behind the scenes because I honestly wanted to be in front of the camera. So I was
lucky. What I'm curious about, and you may have some insight on this, the panel or maybe even the audience, like, I wonder if it varies between, like, stand-up and, like, improv and, like, sketch community. Like, you know, it's sort of a different vibe, and so I wonder if mentorship sort of varies depending on what type of comedy you're doing. Or, you know, let's not forget about behind the scenes, too, right? Women that are trying to be directors, producers, that sort of thing. Like, I wonder if that sort of genre that you're in shapes the sort of willingness to lend a hand and reach back, or if it's maybe, I don't know, if it might, what do you guys think?
I think, if I may say, also you have to think about what people's definition of mentorship is. Mm-hmm. Some people may not want to, you know, walk around with a stand-up comedian following them. Comedy is such a personal experience, and the reality of it is that nobody can teach you how to tell your story. That's something that you develop as you go. But like Wanda and Paige, they did Last Comic Standing. The season that I was on it, they made sure there were 28 women who were finalists, where that had never happened before. So they made sure, and out of the 28 women, 11 of them were women of color, and two of them were lesbians. And that had been something that really, it was like, Last Comic Standing was like, oh, we got a black girl? All right, we got the black girl. We got the transgender.
We got that girl.
All right, we got that check. And it was like, and then 75 million white boys talking about masturbating and porn.
Chill. Can I just say one thing about mentorship? I feel that mentorship is a two-way street. That's the great thing about it. You're not just, for mentorship to work, the mentor has to actively want to participate in the process as well. So, and the real empowerment for the mentorship is actually you deciding who you want to have guide you. And what it means with mentorship, I practice Buddhism, and we have like a mentor kind of feeling about things. It's not that this person is better than you. It is someone who has walked in the path, who has fallen, gotten up, and can tell you what's going on. And they're actively working on their craft as well as you are working on your craft. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So don't, never put a mentor as like, oh, and that was my issue with life and where I just felt like, oh, I couldn't necessarily talk to this person, I put them on a pedestal. That's not really what mentorship is about. It's about both of you being in the trenches, helping each other respectively move your careers and your even your life and your self-development forward. So that's where I'd leave that.
Well, let me throw it to Bobby because, like I said, I'm not lying to you guys, she is one of my, you know, first sort of mentors, somebody that reached back and believed in me and and told me I was a good writer and, you know, pushed me to go farther. So I know that your experience coming up was a little bit different.
And she's encouraged me also. She's instrumental in a lot of people.
And a lot of people. Yeah.
I'm not used to being treated with this much respect. So tone it down. I do feel like, to speak to your question about the difference maybe between mentorship in stand-up versus sketch and improv, I'm often jealous. I'm all, you know, are you on the women's comedy groups on Facebook?
Yeah.
You're on the women's comedy groups on Facebook. And I'm on one with the sketch, some sketch groups and improv, and I'm one of the few, I think, stand-ups on there. And I feel like because stand-up is so solitary a thing, that I often envy the relationship. Like, I've been trying to get people to call out publicly sexual assault for years, and I was like, oh, you're crazy. But I think the improv women were able to really spearhead that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because a lot of it was all kind of, you know, they were experiencing it together through, you know, from similar people. But, I encourage that a lot. But I think part of the problem is that everybody in stand-up is just trying to get their next gig and their next thing and just constantly working the hustle, especially if you don't have a real job, but whether you do or not.
Well, it's that solo mentality, too. It sort of feels like a solo sport, whereas improv and sketch, you know, you are sort of collaborating. And
I also feel the stigma of stand-up comedy workshops is real and ridiculous, and everybody's like, oh, stand-up, you can't teach stand-up, you shouldn't take a stand-up class, oh, I gotta get to my voiceover class before my improv workshop, because my acting teacher wants to meet me later.
Right.
And it's like, pick one, you know, research, I'm also a Buddhist, and my philosophy of stand-up is very organic, not contrived, it's about the process, not the result. And it's not to be rich in it. You're never going to be rich in things. If you just like forget that as a goal and it all being about the process, then you know you can pick and choose what. But it is difficult, I think, to when you're trying to get to your next thing and your next thing. And part of the reason I started teaching stand-up 13 years ago was because there were so many things that I learned the hard way. And I suffered real consequences to learning those things the hard way that I wish somebody had just told me.
Yeah.
Could have just told me. Yeah. And so I try to just tell people.
Twitter like responses, remember?
I'm sorry, Twitter.
It's okay. It's okay. I said Twitter like responses.
I just say one thing really quickly.
Yes, really quick.
The other thing is the reason why I'm so adamant about this is because I remember being when I started doing stand up. And I always want to make sure that I give back to the people who are where I was because they didn't. But also see who you are seeking for mentorship. Because like a lot of people, you think because somebody's famous that they're a good stand-up. And that's not the case. A lot of people just got some Twitter followers, something went viral. I'm a comic, if I do say so myself, I'm a purist. I love Lori Kilmartin. She is one of the best comedians. When I told her how I felt about her, she did not believe me. She's so humble. She could not believe that she was like, you're doing well. And I was like, yeah, but your years in comedy, I respect that. I bow down to that because I want to do that. And she was so open to help me with anything that I wanted.
So I think the message is sometimes you just got to ask. You just got to put it out there.
And Amy Schumer is not available. But there are a bunch of other
there are a bunch of other awesome women who will mentor you.
That's the point.
Reed, you do mostly like improv and sketch stuff. So what do you think about mentorship in that community as opposed to sort of some of the experiences ladies have had?
I can see the differences that people describe. And as far as mentorship itself, I would say mentorship seems like a classification for things that are accepted by the industry and by the systems that we work through. Whereas I kind of see mentorship as emotional labor, ultimately. And I would say that we need to not devalue what we're doing as emotional labor the way that other traditionally, what is seen as feminine work is also devalued, like childcare and other forms of labor.
So just so I understand, so like being there for each other. Like
Mentorship is happening, but we're not calling it that because it's not being seen by the system as that. But I feel like if you are a woman in comedy, if you're a femme person in comedy, it's almost expected of you to take care of yourself and each other. But we're just not ever giving that sort of respect or thanks to the people who are doing that in the community.
Right. Okay, I got to move on to the next question. I think we're going way over time here, but that's too bad. I'm having a good time. How do you think it would have been different if you did have a mentor in the beginning of your career? You think it would have? I mean, let's skip that question. Let's talk about the future. We've heard what it is. Mm-hmm. What can we do going forward? Like, this is what the think tanks are going to be right after this. We're going to come together and sort of think about some actionable stuff that we can each do in a very real way to, like, support each other, build the community, build mentorship. But I'd like to hear your thoughts on it. Do you just want to start down here? Yeah. Twitter, like, answers.
Well, my feeling has always been, if I run into a roadblock and I can't get past that roadblock, and the choice is either change who I am to get past it and what they want me to be, or create my own path and create my own opportunity and go that way, I'm going to create my own opportunity. And then once I make that opportunity, I'm going to reach back for a sister.
Yes.
And then I'm going to tell her to reach back for a sister. And I'm tired of seeing all these women finally booking their own shows and headlining men at every one of these shows and not putting enough women in there, because we've been, like Ada said, we've been, you know, programmed. First of all, the comedy is pie, and female comedy is a smaller pie, and if you get a piece of that pie, that's a piece I don't get. And why am I going to be mad at you for that piece instead of the straight white dudes that took the piece, you know? So make your own opportunities, reach back for a sister. And you know, if you're developing relationships with women as mentors, that advice is probably designed to help you. It's not manipulative in order to try to get something else out of you. I'm saying distrust male advice. Always be suspicious of any, you know. So, I don't know. Thank you.
What do you think, Taylor?
I want to be considered the Harriet Tubman of women. Harriet Tubman. Just going back, liberating it. They don't want to be free. Shoot them in the head.
Love it.
No,
yeah.
She
didn't. Well, looks like. Did they
do that? Because you can go back to the plantation.
We'll
have
to Google
them. Let's move on from this analogy.
Alternative facts.
Yeah.
Thank you. I totally agree in providing platforms. Right here at UCB, Inner Sanctum, actually, this Friday, the 25th at 8 o'clock, I actually have a variety show. It is free. It is called Colored People Time. It is a variety show promoting artists of color. But people, just because, I see a lot of white ladies in this room, that is fine. We should also support each other, support all sorts of communities that have not been out there and be in there. So please come out. It's at 8 p.m. here at UCB Inner Sanctum. And last but not least, I would say, when advice comes to you, really be open to it. Bobby, a lot of times I had mentorship that I didn't realize, and I was like, I know better. Just actually, just think about it. The major point of your life is actually improving yourself each and every day. It's not even about those end games and those checks, and they can actually happen once you decide to like figure out how can I be the best to Haley, the best Carolyn, the best Suzette, the best Gina. I'm sure that those are people in this room.
I was. You see how supportive I am? Just like can't.
One thing I do want to say is that women are socialized to hate each other.
What? Really?
So there's a diagnosis, and to be here and say that that's not true because we don't sing Kumbaya, it's bullshit. We live in a world, comedy is no different than the world. There's racism, there's sexism, there's people ignoring intersections, not understanding, not wanting to respect people's way.
But not everyone is like that.
No, but I'm not. You did your answer.
Wait, what happened to the sisterly love, though? Like, real quick, though.
She was talking about shooting you in your head if you try to go back.
I think I need to reclaim myself.
Right, reclaim
I think
yourself.
I'm reclaiming myself.
But I think that what is important in comedy is that there is a spectrum of comedy, and we always want to police other people and tell them where they belong. There's either you a dirty comic, you're a woman, and the ones who are clean think they're better than the ones that are dirty. The ones who don't curse think they're better than the ones that curse. She talks about her vagina. I don't talk about my vagina. That makes me a better comic. It doesn't.
That's the beauty of it. We're all so different. We all have different perspectives, and there's room for all of it.
And we need the spectrum, because if we don't, then our stories don't get told.
Exactly.
That is what, you got to find your place in the spectrum. But take care of yourself, too, because if you don't get where you need to go, you really can't help anybody else. And sometimes, some people have a tough time understanding that. I can't help you if I don't have power. And so sometimes
that you have power, how have you sort of reached back for women?
I wouldn't say that I have power, but I do create opportunities where I can. I will let you know, and Bobby knows this, when you start headlining, you don't get to pick. A lot of people are like, she never takes women on the road with her. They don't let me bring my own features. Certain clubs will let me now because I've built some stock.
Sure.
They don't let me, and they won't let me take another person of color. So normally when I headline, I have two white guys in front of me who are going to try to burn me at every chance because they are so upset that this Puerto Rican single mother chick is the headliner. And it's real.
And they don't like it.
No, they don't like it. And so the thing is that sometimes we don't have the power to do it. Like, Amy Schumer made a movie and put all her friends in it. I would love to do that.
Yeah.
But all I can do is put y'all in a sketch on YouTube.
Okay, yeah.
All right, sorry. I'm going to start with them and then work our way this way.
Sorry.
Thank you, guys.
What was the question?
Moving forward. Okay, what can we actually be doing to help each other? What can we do better? What can you do better? You know, what can we all sort of think about moving forward? How to create these opportunities where we're helping each other?
Well, from my perspective, from what I've done is that I tested for a show, whatever, and I didn't get it. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to create my own sketch comedy group, and it's going to be all women, and we're going to kill it. And so that's what I did. Actually, Nika was a part of that sketch group, and we had a great time. So basically what I did was I was like, listen, I'm going to create an opportunity. I'm going to create a lane, and I'm going to get all of my friends who do these wonderful things in whatever field it is that they do to help us out. I had someone do graphic design. I had someone do a website. I had someone who knew how to do marketing. I had a friend who can edit. Hey, can you just kind of, at the time, you have to really just call on your friends who do these things, like favors that you need, just kind of barter until you get to a position where you can actually pay somebody. And things like that, like since we, like she said, like we've been out here for a while. So there's someone who came to see our sketch show, and we were trying to work on something together. So now she's on SNL's Leslie Jones. So I just, she just reached back. and had me write for her on, she was hosting the BET Awards, and I was the only female writer to write sketches for her. So, it's happening. You just keep at it. I would just say, don't stop, keep
at it. So in the beginning, like, tap into your friends' talents and sort of pool your talents and resources to create things that you can use to build on and move forward.
Definitely. Create your own lane and reach back.
I'm a big fan of creating your own opportunities. If something doesn't exist, make it happen.
Absolutely. Jules, can I throw in a
Twitter-linked
response?
Shh. I want to get to read real quick. Because I feel like I've been neglecting the side of the table, but we need to go back to you.
Okay.
Oh, I would just say that in my own approach to mentorship from either side, I actually take it from the labor organizing movement on actual actionable techniques that you can do. Number one, identify the problems that in the community. So be looking out for what people need.
Yes.
Number two, agitate. That means you go and you ask that person, hey, were you okay that you were mistreated there? Number three, actively listen. Listen to what they tell you, and then formulize what you want to do about it based on what their needs are. And then four, solidarity. Don't make your sister go out and face, be confrontational by themselves. Link arms and go into it together.
Right. Amen. And actually, you kind of just described what we're doing next, which is the think tank, so thank you for the setup.
Thank you.
Mika, what do you think? What are your thoughts?
What are my thoughts? Oh my gosh. Okay, so moving forward. Moving forward. Oh my god. Okay. So I had a room that I created, Follow the Funny, for a whole year. And I think you have to be intentional with this comedy thing. You just can't be like, okay, I'm gonna do stand-up. And then he's like, stand-up's not going well. I'm gonna do sketch, I'm gonna do improv. You gotta be intentional. So my whole thing was like, you know what? I'm gonna do a room for a year. It was free. Nobody came out. And every month I struggled. I'm like, okay, I'm trying to get this popping and nobody's supporting me. But I would book all women. Like, most of my shows were like, if it was five comics, it was always more, three women, two men. Just so women had somewhere to come.
I'm guilty. I'm friends with you. I know about these things and I didn't come out. And like, that sucks.
It's but
like,
it's all good. Because you put this panel together.
We all slipped up. But that's an important reminder. We need to
support each other. But really support each other. Like, I see all these different.
Are you still doing it?
No. I only said a year. I literally wrote it down. I'm going to do a show for a year. After 6 months, I wanted to stop. But I said, no. I said a year. I'm not a quitter. I'm going to go ahead and work these 6 months out. But I guess my takeaway from that was, if you're going to do something, be intentional and be committed to it. Like right now you're in this room because you have came here to say, okay, this is a step in my career, in my comedy career. Now tomorrow you'll be like, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and work at Chipotle and go make me, you know, some real cash or whatever you decide to do. But, you know, that's your life. But my thing is just be intentional. Whatever it is, be intentional and be dedicated, because what you will find out is in this industry, if you're not intentional and you're not committed to whatever it is you came out here to do, you will find yourself not doing that and being regretful in your path towards
that. I think showing up and being consistent is important. And when others are showing up and being consistent, supporting them when they putting opportunities out there for us as women comedians and giving us stage time and stuff like that.
Yes.
Bobby, what was your thought?
Well, I was going to say, I get a lot of random emails from people I've never met before in my life. And I would say, form a relationship with a person before you ask them to be your mentor.
Yes.
Get to know the person. Go to the
meeting.
They may not even be on for you. I might be hilarious, and I'm hilarious, by the way. I might be hilarious, and I might be, you know, doing great or in whatever I'm doing or whatever. But that doesn't mean I'm necessarily a good fit for you. And this, what I'm about to say, may either be due to my mental illness or just time constraints. But I get emails from people I've never met before in my life. Can I take you to Starbucks and buy you a coffee and bend your ear about comedy for the afternoon? I don't have time or the ability to have that interaction. I can't be every person in LA's mentor for a $5 frappuccino. I don't have time, and I'm terrified of people I don't know. So meet somebody and be around them before you just
that's a really good point.
point, it's like, you know, it's kind of like dating. You don't want to, well, maybe you do. But.
Unless you're on Tinder.
We're in a build a relationship. We're in a build a relationship before you ask for that kind of commitment. Just to make sure it's the right kind of good fit for you.
Don't
do it. Okay, one more thing.
It doesn't hurt you. It won't kill you to support somebody else. Yes. If somebody makes a move, trust me, that has nothing to do with you. It's not going to hurt you. Anytime, when Whitney Cummings had her TV show, I heard a lot of women hate on her. She's not nice. She's this. She's not funny. And when her show failed, all that told NBC was women can't carry a show. But Whitney's, the success of Whitney's show could have created the opportunity for somebody else and somebody else. And what happened was now a bunch of male comics got TV shows. Yeah. And women are playing secondary roles.
Her success is my success.
Yes.
It's not going to kill you if you tweet somebody.
Abundance mentality, yes. Not scarcity mentality.
Yes.
Right. Sure. Okay, well, I think that sort of wraps up the conversation about mentorship. Mm-hmm. Are there like one or two questions I could take from the room? Any?
Right over here. Hey, guys, I just want to know if anyone or have you guys balanced like a 9-to-5?
Oh, my God. Let me talk about this one. I got this one.
The hustle is real. I gotta go drive for Uber Eats as soon as I leave. It's real.
Yeah, the struggle is real. I'm getting dirty looks though from the back of the room. Maybe if you guys could just really honestly, truly this time.
I had a job, full time stand up comic and single mother of two. So yes.
Yeah.
And my kids are not on crack.
Okay. Are you familiar with the rapper Rick Ross? He has a song called Hustler. So in the comedy game, you have to be a hustler. So that means multiple jobs. You know, if you need your hair braided, you know what I'm saying? I drive for Uber Eats, so you need to do some babysitting. But all of that is fueling your career, and your mind is like, you know what, this is not where I'm going to be. This is just a means to an end.
Yeah. I held a 9-to-5, and technically I still do. And what I can say about the 9-to-5s is they actually inform your comedy. Because you get out and you have life experiences. Like, now I'm at a law firm and dealing with a lot of crazy stuff there. But it has informed my comedy. And then being in contact with people outside of, you know, what we do is very special, so being in contact with people in other industries, not to say that that's what you should do, but it just informs your comedy in a different way. So you may write a sketch that you never thought of this perspective, but you may, you know, have jokes about, you know, something that everybody else can, you know, relate to.
Can I throw in one thing?
Yes.
It's really important to have a job that has consistent income. I wish I could say that I could just perform on my comedy and then be able to pay for that. And I have made the mistake in the past thinking that something was good enough for me to quit everything and then think that that was going to ride me through, and it did not. And so I really would encourage you, I think the biggest thing that you can try to go for is flexibility. And even if that is a 9-to-5, if I have done a 2-hour lunch break, and that started, you know what I mean? These are the kinds of things that are really important, because for me, it mentally affected my comedy and my ability to produce good work if I did not know where my next check would be. Like, I couldn't perform in that respect.
But you got to know when to quit, though, because there's no plan B for people who believe that plan A is going to work.
I think that that struggle, that hustle, it really can fuel your comedy and inform and inspire it. I got to cut the panel short, but give it up for this amazing panel. Oh.
Right on the mic.
Please, use your social media. for your comedy. Like, you can put a 1 minute Instagram video. I just had a video go viral about dating a chick with natural hair. It was just an idea I had. Somebody posted it who had 300,000 followers, and it's almost viral. So my thing is, use your social media to put your comedy out.
Yeah. All right. Welcome back, guys. Okay, tell us who you both are.
I'm Bobby Oliver.
I'm Nefertari Spencer.
And what do you guys do?
I'm a comedian. I'm a comedy teacher. I own the Dow of Comedy. No, I own. I don't even know what I own. I own Dow Comedy Studio, and I'm the author of the Dow of Comedy.
I am a writer actress, and I do sketch and improv also.
Dope, dope. And you guys were just on the panel here at the Inside Jokes with Women in Comedy.
It was great.
That was such a good panel. Oh my God, you guys were so funny and so real.
And I so insightful.
Yeah.
Trying to get that many women to limit their answers to Twitter size responses.
I couldn't do it. I was like, no way.
It was like, good luck with that.
Exactly. I can barely tweet in Twitter size responses.
I don't even, because I can't, you know what I mean? I can't be bothered. I want to talk when how long I want to talk. I want to use how many words I want to use. You know what I mean? But yeah, you guys were great. She told you to do it, and you just summed it up. I think on my tweet, I summed it up when I said it. I'm going to say what I want to say. That was tight.
Yeah, it was great. I saw so many women today that I haven't seen in years, so many that I just look up to, and just a lot of new women I'd never met before, so that it's been great.
I know, there's so many women here I've never met, and I feel it's like, it's so exciting.
And there's also like 10 times that many in LA who weren't here today.
Yeah, that's very true.
So we have the numbers now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Bobby, starting with you, you have actually provided a space for women to come and do comedy, and you got some, what you call that, kind of negative feedback from that.
Oh yeah, can I cuss?
Yeah.
I get so much shit from men, and not just men. I had a woman go off on me on Facebook because I wouldn't let her straight white male friend come to the women only open mic. I'm like, there's 2 hours a week he's not allowed somewhere. He'll be fine.
It'll be fine.
Shit. We get that shit all the time. People give us shit all the time because we don't put men on. You know, they're like, when are you going to interview men? When are you going to have men on your show? And I'm like, there is every other show for them.
Yeah, they have so many.
There is every other show for them.
I always say, you should sue me. Just sue me.
You don't like it, sue me. I love that. That's so
That's awesome.
Men have everything else. I think we can have one thing.
It's so true.
And they're always like, are you talking about us? No, we're not. We don't care about you.
Right.
We passed the Bechdel test.
Right. It's not about you. It's not about you.
That's the whole point.
Yeah. I would have to agree that what you all were saying earlier about all of the women here and the community here, there are so many more out there. So this is actually really exciting because I think that what this is doing is raising awareness, you know, that we're here and there is a network where we can reach out to each other and help each other. So this is actually very exciting for me to meet all of these people.
And created by
and
women.
Create, yeah.
I mean, Jules and them, and this is nationwide, but Julianne Simmons here in LA. I mean, the amount of work that's gone into this, I know I produced a festival. I know this is a lot of work. And we did, you know, we didn't sit around and wait for someone to give us something. They said, hey, let's do a conference for women in comedy. Let's bring women together. And we're doing this ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can get it up, though.
yeah, I think, too, like, one of the cool things about this event is that, like, the women working, there were women working the door. There are women doing the individual group things here. They're leading that. The photographer is a woman. One of the videographers
is a woman.
The DJ is a woman.
The men were parking the car.
Yeah.
Of course, as it should be.
Yes.
And pour in the
Thanks, coffee. Guys.
Man, I don't know who that woman, I don't know who that DJ was, but, man, she was tearing it up.
Yeah.
Like, she was really, like, carrying the mood of this class.
Her name is Bree Geiger. She's amazing.
Oh, that's awesome.
She does stand-up and storytelling, too.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Bree Geiger.
Everybody
nice.
Book this woman.
Yes. Yeah, she was great.
I've been to a bajillion events with her, and she always just, like, fucking
that's awesome.
Kills.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So you started with, you got way into the industry with Bernie Mac?
Yeah, I started behind the scenes. I started behind the scenes, and Bernie Mac is actually instrumental in me leaving behind the scenes, so to speak. So I was at the time I was studying at Groundlings and Improv Olympic, and I was doing improv, and I would make him laugh a lot. And so he told me to stop hiding, you know, you really need to get out there and do what you want to do with your life. Like, stop hiding and do what you want to do. So he was very instrumental in helping me to just believe in myself. Because I think, again, you know, as women, a lot of times, you know, we may second guess the gifts that we have actually been given, right, and just feel like, oh, well, maybe I'm not good enough, and I shouldn't be doing this, because it really wasn't cultivated in me to do it at a young age. So, yeah.
What's your favorite thing about comedy?
What's my favorite thing about comedy?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a really hard question, because I don't have one single favorite thing about comedy.
What made you start doing it? Other than sketch and improv, what made you start doing it? What inspired you to?
You know what?
Get that mic, because it ain't no joke.
Well, I've only done open mics for stand-up, and I love the art of it, yeah, but I respect it, yeah, which is why I don't do it. Because I just feel safer with improv.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I can write something out.
Whereas improv scares the shit out of me.
Yeah, I wouldn't know where to start. It's like,
see, that's so weird, because that's how I am with stand. I'm like, I respect it. I am not going to go to the clubs every night and, right, like, take the, yeah, air out of jokes and all of that. Right. I'm not doing it.
Because a lot of people don't. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, you don't even respect the art. You just want to be a comedian.
Right.
You know,
right, I mean? And so many people get into it. And I think with my workshops, the thing that surprises new people the most is how hard it is.
Very hard.
They're like, oh my God, this is work.
It's hard.
And I'm like, it's an insult to every comedian you love to think you're going to come rolling in here and on week two you're going to be Richard Pryor.
I agree 100%.
No, it's work. Like anything.
It's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
But the thing I love about it is that it gives people a voice who may not otherwise have a voice in this culture. And, you know, it's such a great way to, you know, anybody can do stand-up. Anybody can walk into an open mic, pick up a mic, and talk about the stuff they care about and tell their story. You know, and Hinduism says that God split itself in everything in the world. It split itself into every person, every squirrel, every rock, every mountain, so that God could see itself from every possible point of view. So literally, your job from the universe is to tell us what things look like from your point of view. So that means everyone's voice matters.
Yep.
Everyone's voice is just as important as everyone else's voice. And stand-up, I think, gives, especially marginalized people, luckily the internet has done so much for that too, but just giving people who otherwise, I mean, where I'm from, where you're from, probably, you know, women are told to shut up, sit down, go in the kitchen.
Yeah, we're homegirls. Yeah, just shut up, like, even ex-boyfriends, I mean, they were, because of my so-called mouth or abusive and everything, and I'm like, it's just me. I don't know what else to do with it. I have to speak. You know,
I was just in Georgia at home a couple of weeks ago. I've never been told to shut up so many times.
I'm telling you,
I was like, I can't wait to go home where nobody tells
me. It's different. You can't sit down there and talk what you want to talk. Like, you need to shut up. Shut up. You run your mouth too much. Always.
Maybe you need to listen.
Right.
Exactly. They need to listen. They don't want to listen.
Yeah. I think another thing that for comedy, even in the form of improv and or sketch or writing or just performing, like, you know, comedy material in sitcoms or something like that, it's been therapeutic, so to speak, because you get to forget about the mundane things that are going through your head all the time, or you do get to express how you're feeling about those mundane things right, all the time in your head. I think that what it is it's a release, and it's very therapeutic. So
very therapeutic.
That might be one of the things that I really love about comedy
so much. Because you can be mad at something, so angry, and not know what to do with that energy. You get on stage, and that joke is a winner. It's like, I like that pain.
Right.
It is a tangible coping mechanism.
Yes, for sure.
I was in therapy starting when I was in third grade, and I wish somebody had given me some sort of, like, tangible means to process the world around me.
Right.
And that, you know, I came back from Georgia, and boy, did I have some jokes.
I know that's right.
my family said and did to me, I wrote that shit down.
That's
I was like, I want to talk about your
ass.
That's
exactly how I feel now. Like, I'm like, oh, well, I just had my mom's wedding, and now I have a whole gamut of material.
Yeah, the comedian gets jury duty. Most people are like, damn it. And we're like, I'm going to get some jury duty jokes.
Yes. Bobby, what current day comedians inspire you the most?
What
current day comedians inspire you the most?
I love Maria Bamford. I love Jackie Cation. I love Laurie Kilmartin.
Love Laurie Kilmartin.
I love Sally Mullins. I love Deborah DiGiovanni. I love Laura House. I love how diverse female comedy is right now. I love how amazing female comedy is right now. I love Wanda Sykes. I mean, there's just so many amazing people. Janine Garofalo. I mean, so many amazing people out there who are really, you know, walking the walk and talking the talk.
That's great. What does feminism mean to you?
Feminism?
Yeah. Wow.
Now I have to, I feel, I need to be studious with this answer.
No, it doesn't have to be studious.
I don't want to just be like, pussy power, because you know that's not what it really is. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's
kind of
like that.
But you know, you don't have to have, I don't know, I haven't read all the feminist writers. I don't know all the history of feminism, but it's still what it, you know, it's your own feminism.
Yeah,
you know?
I think for me, feminism is just standing up for women, standing up for our rights, standing up for our voices, reaching back and helping one another, and creating opportunities for us to continue to grow as women.
Yeah, that's great.
That's perfect. Thank you guys so much. How do we find you? How do we keep up with you? You can follow me online at Bobby Oliver, B-O-B-B-I-E, Oliver, or Dow Comedy Studio, which is spelled T-A-O Comedy Studio. We're on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And Laugh Riot Girls, which you can find through that.
I'm Nefertari Spencer. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm going to spell my name, okay? It's Nefertari S. That's N-E-F like Frank, E-T-A-R-I-S. Nefertari S.
Such a good name.
Follow me.
Thank you.
Thank you,
ladies.
Thank you.
Yeah, eat the mic because it's quite loud in here.
Okay.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello. Thank you guys so much for coming on our podcast.
Thank you for having us. My name is DeHaley Hall.
And I'm Reed Bryce.
And you guys were just on the panel for Women in Comedy Conference. And what do you do?
Yeah, what do you guys do?
Well, I am a performer, writer, and director. And I just also wanted to say how thrilled I was to see so many women here and to be on a panel with so many fantastic people. And I'd love to promote, if possible, to come on.
Please.
Yes, here at UCB. Inner Sanctum, I host a show with other women, but it's for all performers. It's called Color People Time, so I'm really advocating people of color to come and support, and not even if you're not a person of color, to come and support and watch and that happening. That's all.
I'm also a performer. I'm showrunner for the Bacchus at Pack Theater, and it's a show that has only women and gender nonconforming people on it. But it's also a platform to let guests do their own material, whether it be sketch, improv, stand up, or even I feel like, you know, if somebody just wants to come up and talk about political activism, I want to give them that platform. Yeah, I'm a trans person and a leftist, materialist, intersectionalist, feminist.
That's great.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I love this. Inside jokes. Fantastic.
All right. Thank you. Okay, so Reed, let's see. If you could be on stage with any comedian, past or present, who would it be and why?
Moms Mabley.
Yes, good choice.
She was a pioneer in the stand-up world. She was a woman of color, and she was a feminist at a time that there were virtually no women stand-ups on stage. She wasn't afraid to talk about politics and talk about racial inequality, and she's just funny as hell.
She's so fucking funny.
So if I could open for anybody in the world in the history of comedy, it'd be her.
That's a really good choice. Awesome. That's a really good choice. Let me see one other question. Why did you come out to Inside Jokes today? What brought you here? Besides being on the panel, but...
I was invited because there are not too many people who identify as trans and or gender nonconforming in the community. And I was very grateful that my presence was requested not necessarily to represent everybody in the queer community, but right. to at least be a voice where there might not otherwise be one.
That's so great.
You had to come straight represent.
I know that's right.
Reed, how do we keep up with you? How do we find you?
You can find me at That Dang Dingus on Instagram and Twitter.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Reed.
Thank you. And this podcast rules.
Thank you.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, we're back. So who are you?
Hi, I'm Atsuko Okatsuka.
Hi, Atsuko. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for coming
on. We're wanting you on. So let us know what you do.
Yeah, what do you do?
I stand-up comedy, acting, filmmaking. Yeah.
Dope.
Yeah.
Okay, so what? Let's see.
Are you just recently married, too? I know you, so I got to let that out, right?
I did 2 months ago. Yeah.
Like, it was so much fun.
Oh, my God. I want to do it again. just the wedding.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted. I like the festivities and everything. The fun, the dancing, the love, too. But
no, you and your husband are, like, the cutest.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I think it's because we're still fresh. But, you know, I don't know.
How long have you guys been together?
Yeah.
I mean, pretty short relative to other people, I think. Like 2.5 years, almost 3.
Yeah.
Something. Like a lifetime, you know what I mean?
Some people are engaged for like 7 years, you know?
What is that?
Okay, so why do you think that it's important for women to support each other, especially in the comedy community?
Well, I mean, besides it being like a sort of community that was always like male dominant and still sort of like even the bookers and like the sayers of what gets into mainstream or onto media are still male dominant. I think that's why it's important, you know, for us to support each other's voices and experiences, you know. Just not just for moral support, but also to help lift each other for, you know, I guess career-wise, you know?
Yeah. What advice would you give yourself when you were starting out if you could go back and give yourself advice now that you are where you are?
I guess I don't know. I mean, what would I mean, besides don't do it. I was trying to go positive.
I probably would tell myself that.
Yeah.
Because you'd be so invested, you're like, I gotta go, keep going now.
No, you heard me stuttering. That's why I was like, I don't know. In all seriousness, I wouldn't say don't do it. Maybe I would say, I guess, make it a positive experience, you know? And don't make it about yourself. It's really about serving communities and the love of humanity and laughter, you know. I think it's easy to get in your head about woe is me.
Right.
Yeah.
You get depressed when you get in your head about your career when it's about you, but when you realize it's about humanity, like you said, in community, you feel like it's a purpose. You know what I mean? And we're here to serve each other with our talents.
Yeah. And we're also different, you know? Yes. There's no comparing you to other people.
Yeah.
That's the first thing you do. Well, why she get this and they got that and this and they're over there doing that and I'm funnier than her and she guys like.
None of us have the same.
Yeah, it's such a waste of time.
Yeah.
It's hard to not do, though.
Yeah.
It is hard.
Yeah.
But you can't compare yourself to someone else who's a completely different person from a completely different background with a completely different style and thoughts. You know what I mean? It's all good to put into this gene pool, you know, of womanhood and taking over the world, you know?
Right. I like how you put that in there, taking over the world. I know that's right, because that's the bottom line, right?
Yeah.
Women taking over the world.
That's when I'm done.
Yeah.
That's when I'm done.
Yeah, exactly.
Is when we take over the world.
So what did you expect out of today's event?
I think what we talked about, you know, this sort of community and serving each other and reminding each other that's why we're here, you know.
And you're doing stand-up at the event, right?
I am, yes. Yeah, that's great. I'm doing stand-up, yeah.
That's
yeah.
Like, how long have you been doing stand-up?
I started in 2010 or 11, I think.
Like 6, 7 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty seasoned, yeah. About 6 or 7 years.
I took a break for grad school.
Oh.
Yeah.
Where did you go to grad school?
I went to CalArts. Because I majored in film, uh-huh. It's almost like I didn't have to take that break. But I did, you know what I mean? I didn't need to go, but I did, yeah. And I paid money. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Well, you're so funny. You said it so serious.
No, it's true. It's kind of so a bummer funny. When I think about the 3 years that I lost.
Yeah. It's hindsight, I know.
Yeah. You thought I was going to say something like lawyer, you know? Yeah, I thought too. But then I realized I was like, oh shit, no, that's not my story.
Who inspired you to do stand-up?
When I was growing up, and I'm sure a lot of like Asian female stand-ups say it, but the first stand-up comedy set I ever saw was Margaret Cho's on a DVD. And then
but
Robert.
That's why that's important.
Yeah.
Like, I know you feel like a lot of people, but that's why she being who she is so fucking important, because you needed someone to look up to.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue.
No, totally. Yeah. Exactly.
Representation.
You needed so the important. Representation.
When she was the only one.
Yeah.
Only Asian female stand-up, like, it did mean a lot.
Only Asian stand-up. I mean, I know that there are, but
there were dudes.
Yeah. But females, Margaret Cho was like,
But, and she reached a huge community, you know, mm-hmm. even like my husband's like super, small town, you know, conservative parents said they know who she is, you know?
Yeah. Right, like she really is a household name, you know, and that's a lot to conquer, you know, period, guy or girl, but she really did it. We just had Amy Anderson, stand-up comedian here.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
And she mentioned the same thing, Margaret Cho.
Yeah, I know Amy.
Yeah. As a comedian too, because there wasn't that many females.
And she's actually adopted, Amy.
Yeah,
she is. It's like, you know, being seeing someone. There's just a lot of identity that can happen.
Different layers.
Yeah.
So what does feminism mean to you?
One more time.
What does feminism mean to you?
Feminism means to me what makes it. Whatever makes it so that we can be the best at what we are without a greater force trying to stop it.
Yeah.
You know? I don't want to say it's necessarily about equality. For me, you know, it's about the best that we want to be in this society and functioning in this society without a greater force, like, systematically trying to oppress that. Mm. Yeah. That's a boring way to talk. Yeah.
No,
that's deep.
That's
though.
Not boring.
Feminism means wearing lipstick for me and wearing a dress, and that's if I feel really good, then you can't say that it's less than or it's categorized in a certain way or that I'm not funny because of it or that I'm not smart.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Not needing validation.
Right.
You said the patriarchy. I can't get it right.
Patriarchy.
Today.
Yeah. No, I knew what you were going to say. Yeah. No. Yeah, we didn't need to say it. No, I heard you. I heard you at the word puh. Just like the beginning. I knew what you were trying to say.
Sometimes I just get lazy, but I'm from the South. I'm sorry.
I'm not about semantics.
Okay, well, thank you so much for being on. How do we find you?
Yeah.
How do we
thank
keep up with you?
I'm on at Otsko Comedy. And then, that's where you can find me, Twitter and Instagram, Facebook. Just type out Otsko and the rest should pop up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And you're about to perform. So
I am.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Like, I felt like Dead Man Walking after that shit. I'm not even gonna lie.
I'm sure.
You should have.
Whenever we do our shows, I always look at Tracy after and I'm like, now I can go shit.
Yeah.
We can risk.
Now I can go
shit.
And not be like running through your to-do list in your brain while you're taking a shit. Yeah. You know?
That was like, but it was so good though.
I got goosebumps so many times that day.
Yeah.
And I'm like not really like a feelsy, like, corny person like that really, but like there were just some moments that really stuck out to me. I just took a moment and took it in,
and like looked at what we were doing and like felt the vibe in the room, and everything was so positive and so much good energy, and women seemed to really be enjoying themselves and finding it helpful and useful and just like a cool place to connect with other women. And yeah, I just like, I tried to enjoy those moments while I could, because it was a lot of work to pull it all together. Yeah. But those moments really did, and I know it sounds so cliche, make it worth it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it was great. There was the opening of the whole thing was just like quick fire networking, which I think was a great idea.
Yeah, well, let's
hear all the voices. Like,
change, yeah, and it was just like a change. Way, I think, for everybody to just be like, okay, yeah, I recognize this face. I recognize this face.
Right, and it's so many people, you recognize their faces. Right. You don't necessarily know their names, but you've seen them around.
And
either
we're in
at
so
a show
many Facebook groups.
We're in so many groups. You've seen their, you know, little icon pop up. And it was, yeah, I was like, oh, my God, I already feel like I know you, but now I really know you.
Yeah.
And like, hey, what are you working on? And hey, how do we have anything in common? Can we work on a project together? Yeah. I do think it was a really good way to sort of warm up the attendees. Yeah. But every single that's sort of one of our core components to every event that we're going to do is a speed
great.
Networking.
Yeah, because so the great. Energy with it amazed me, because I didn't know that people, you know, we in the industry, we have to give so much energy every day.
You know,
oh, it might be this audition or this, you know, you go through so much. And for me to see that fresh energy and eagerness to talk to each other as women really, like, really it inspired me. I was like, wow, we are there for each other. You know, we just have to be given the platform and the opportunity in the space.
Yeah, exactly.
And the encouragement to, and the, you know, the structure. Like,
I
you
also
put it together,
like,
the structure for us to do that.
Right. Yeah, we just need a venue for that,
like,
sort of.
Was right. Quenched.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
I did feel like the women were hungry for an opportunity that.
Sure. Yeah.
And even just, we got over 300 RSVPs. And yeah. So we cut it off. And obviously not that many people actually attended. We were closer to 200.
But that's still so
But
many
it would have been, A, really insane if everybody had showed up.
Yeah.
I mean, great problem to have. But like, we had a handful already.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I think it just proved, it really underscored that there is a desire, if given sort of the opportunity, the platform, to make these connections, to empower each other, to advocate for one another, to share stories. And that's the space I think that, you know, women in comedy can really fill as a nonprofit sort of organization, and that is organizing and bringing women together, convening women.
You guys are really good at advertising, too.
Oh,
because
hey.
I feel like.
Thanks.
Feel
Shout like out to Claire so Armstrong, much. Our PR and marketing person.
Shout out to Claire. Because I feel like there's so much shit to do, which is a great thing.
Yeah.
And a really good problem. But I feel like it's like easy to lose. I've actually been like wanting to work on a calendar that stays on the Act Like a Girl website that is like, okay, these are all the female hosted shows that are ongoing.
Yes.
Because there are, like, you can on any given night, there is an opportunity to go to something that's either like a networking event that's for women, or a show that's hosted by women, or a show that features all women.
Yes.
You know? And I think it's like, I think that was part of the key for you guys for this event, was you guys did such a good job advertising.
Well, thanks. And I mean, you know,
it
you
was
can
very accessible.
We wanted to build a good product, because obviously, you know, whether it's with your writing or whatever, content is sort of king. And so we wanted to make sure we had like a day that would be helpful and useful to everybody. But like you said, it's hard to grab people's attention in a city like Los Angeles.
Yes.
First of all, I always say this. You can't spell flake without L.A. You know how people are. It's a summer day in August on a Sunday. Beautiful day. Hot day.
Yeah.
You had a million excuses why you couldn't show up. You know what I mean? But 200 women still came through, and I think found it really useful.
Yes. It was so useful.
Yeah.
But even before that, can we rewind a second before the speed networking, which was one of my favorite moments of the entire day.
Yeah.
So we had an awesome DJ at the event. In addition to
you
guys, in addition to Act Like a Girl being there, we had DJ Bree Geiger.
Shout out to Bree.
Huge fan. She's awesome. Hire her for everything.
Yes.
She's a badass. And she had a bomb playlist for us that day.
She also went after went to her event that she also DJ'd at that night.
Oh my God. She's a superwoman.
Everybody knows her. Like, everybody.
Yeah. Bree's all over the place.
I love female DJs.
And she has such great energy as a comedian and as a DJ.
Oh my God.
But like, so this is one of my favorite moments. So we just let like the bulk of people in, you know, and so it was like first 50 got gift bags. And so it was like this mad rush.
in the door initially. And so like I was like Brie, like I was like giving her the signal to like, you know, start playing the music, everybody's coming in, whatever. And so I give her the signal and all of a sudden I hear it's like, pop your pussy, don't stop, don't quit. Right? And like it was she came in like fucking hot, right? She came in hot. And all of a sudden I felt like I saw like women like just sort of stop.
Oh.
Like realize, oh, this is going to be fun. Yes. This is going to be like an it's going to be that kind of event. Because sometimes you hear conference, and I didn't want it to be like, I'm in a conference.
Boring.
So that comes in. I see these women look at each other, and all of a sudden, just spontaneous, like
popping pussies,
popping it. Popping it, dropping it low.
I was like, they didn't expect this.
Right. And I also felt like women like looked around, realized there were no dudes there. There was nobody who was going to creep on them. And just like no one to judge and just like let it loose. Oh my God. It was so great. I like was just like, yes, this is more than I imagined.
It was the best. And also like all the women that were volunteering and were helping out, like they all came over and introduced themselves to us.
Heroes. Those women. Shout out to our volunteers. There's too many to name.
The lady that just kept giving us, make sure we got like the makeup.
Yeah,
and
she was amazing.
This is for you. Every time
fantastic. Yes. We wanted to make sure that we took care of our people, that we took care of our volunteers, and that they like had a good time.
I didn't meet one lady with an attitude at all. And that's like
hard. It's hard when you bring that many people together.
Yeah.
But
something to make you frustrated.
Shout out to Lizzie Pilcher and Mary Bacay, who is our volunteer team.
Great job, ladies.
Who recruited all those wonderful women that gave their Sunday afternoons and their energy and their time and talent and all that stuff. So shout out to our coordinators and to all the women that gave their time. I mean, literally, so many people donated time and resources and talent to make this happen.
You can tell.
I mean, including sort of my core leadership team. I mean, I think about when Victoria, who is our executive director, who's the founder of Women in Comedy based out of Chicago, when she, you know, this whole thing started because I saw a Facebook post.
It always starts.
Facebook. Facebook. Yeah, no, but so I saw a Facebook one of the women's groups, probably, I don't remember, and I was at home, I was like writing that day, and you know, writing obviously means dicking around on Facebook for at least 3 hours per day. Am I right?
Yeah.
So I'm writing, in air quotes, and I'm like, oh, well, this is like so squarely in my alley, because like up my alley, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
My background is I worked in politics in nonprofits, right? And I went to Georgetown and got an executive certificate in nonprofit management. And like that was sort of my first life. Like,
wow.
And then I was like, oh, but this is for women. And I had served on a board of women's organizations, pro-choice women's organizations before. I'm like, okay, that's cool. It hits that point and comedy. So it was this like trifecta of things that like I'm super interested in. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm just going to reach out. I did an interview. It's my position's all volunteer. My committee's all volunteer. The whole organization's all volunteer and is just funded by donated hours and resources. And so, you know, it started with a phone call. She interviewed me. She liked me. She asked me to put a team together in Los Angeles.
What? That right then, just like that.
It was like, you know, a couple days later, we had another conversation, figured out what it would look like. This is their first time sort of trying to branch out of Chicago.
Right.
And so.
With you.
They were sort of, you know, a national group, but headquartered there. And so this is their first shot this year at starting chapters. And so, you know, she really wanted to get something going in Los Angeles, obviously, because there is a big community here, larger than many other cities. Mm-hmm. And so then she just tasked me with recruiting a group of women. And actually, if anyone who listens to this is interested, I'm looking to bring on a vice president in the next couple months. And we're always looking for more support with, you know, PR and marketing and volunteer stuff and really just extra hands on deck that can be more involved. So if anybody is interested in, you know, lending their time or talent to women in comedy, we're always looking for extra support.
Okay.
Anyway, long story short, it just grew from there. You know, I reached out to some women. I interviewed with, you know, brought them on. And like literally we just started meeting and planning and brainstorming, like, hey, you know, what kind of things are women going to need? What will they find useful? Like, what would we find useful? And so, you know, we've just been meeting on a weekly basis and been planning this event for
a couple months. So it was really cool to see everything come to fruition and be so positive, and people seem so engaged, and it was just started from, you know, literally nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, everything you saw there was donated. Shout out to Nickelodeon Writing Program.
Totally.
They were one of our presenting sponsors. Wow. And then our premier sponsor, special guest, which is Damon Jr.'s app.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, like, without those sort of, like, leadership kind of level donations, I don't know that we would have been – and UCB for giving us the venue space. For yeah. so many hours
perfect
that day.
Venue, yeah. I yeah. liked it because it was so wide and space. It had a lot of space. We could move around.
Yeah, it was mm-hmm. like it didn't – it was a lot of people, but it didn't feel crazy. So, I yeah. mean, like, literally, there are so many things that had to come together to make this happen, including all our other general sponsors and everybody that helped in any way. My friend was a videographer, came. Photography by Tamia came and donated her time and talent. So, like, literally all these women.
Thank you for inviting us at Club.
Oh, my God. Oh my God. Yeah, I just thought you guys were be a perfect
fit. That was amazing.
Yeah, we had so much fun.
The energy from the women that we interviewed was, like, it was just so encouraging. You know, yeah. they were, like, they
were so excited to be yeah. there.
And well, and it
so
breaks a lot learning. Of the stereotypes that, you know, yeah. women are catty, women are right. bitchy, they're territorial.
Right.
We're all in it for ourselves. There's a scarcity mentality, and there's yes. only so many spots for women, and, you know, you and I can't coexist, and I think it's bullshit. Yeah. I think that is something we've been fed for a long time by a system created by people that don't have our best interests right. in mind, and I think that it proves that we have the numbers and there's strength in numbers to create our own shit.
Yeah.
And yep. support each other in our own channels. And,
totally.
You know, we don't Love need it. Anyone's permission or approval to do it. So here we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we really don't need anybody else's help besides women's help. Like, we really could just do it. We can yeah. just do this. We don't need anybody.
We got this.
Yeah,
you gotta think about it. The old saying was, behind every great man is a strong woman. Guess
it's
what?
Bullshit. That's bullshit.
Well, let that strong woman just be that strong woman.
Yeah, exactly.
To, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, take care of that great man.
What could she accomplish if really she wasn't standing behind him?
That's exactly. all I'm trying to say.
Exactly.
Beautifully said. Yeah. See how we need each other?
Yeah. Right? There you go.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the panel because the panel was empty. Dope.
I loved it. I loved everybody up there.
The panel was so great.
You picked the perfect. I don't even know how you did it.
It's really just great age range, great race range. I love that Reed was representing the non-binary community. Like, it was a great panel.
Yeah, I was really happy with how the panel came together. I think we had women from sort of a variety of perspectives and backgrounds yes. and experiences, different places in sort of their comedy careers. Obviously, I wanted to lean a little bit towards more seasoned comics.
Yeah, totally.
Because I think there's, like, a wealth of wisdom that we right. get from our older sisters in this community that have been through it and seen shit.
Every time Bobby talks about comedy, yeah. I'm like, listening.
It's so funny.
Yeah, it's like it's a master so class in, like, you know,
it's so funny
what to do, what not to do, what mm-hmm. to look out for, you know. So I always think it's helpful to have people with some wisdom. But yeah, we had people from sort of a range of types of comedy mm-hmm. as well totally. As different places in their career, and it was hella diverse. We had one straight white woman on our panel,
yeah,
of six. I think that's pretty fucking good.
I forgot who was
Bobby.
Destroyed.
Bobby, yeah.
Oh,
Bobby Oliver.
Bobby
shout out to
down
Bobby.
In Southern and country. Her roots. I didn't even think of her. You know what I mean?
So yeah, who else was on the panel?
Also, her husband is like fucking great.
Chris is awesome.
Chris is so yeah. fucking great.
So what supportive. An ally.
I have
such
to get
a good ally.
Like that, man. Yeah. You got to be down for me. Yeah. You know right? what I mean? He yeah. is down for her.
He is down yeah, for her. That's just for sure. But we also had Ida Rodriguez on the panel, mm-hmm. who is just one of my favorites. I think yes. she's so fantastic, outspoken, smart.
I just saw her do a public speaking or whatever. It was real big.
On Young Turks or
yeah, no, it was another one on Facebook yesterday.
Okay.
It was really, really nice. Yeah, she's branching into that now.
Oh, great.
See, yeah. But yeah, I just, it was like strong women, just to see strong women like on a panel. And I mean, I knew it was going to be like a little, not like, I just, not competitive, but I knew it was going to be a little bit outspoken. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Like, and good.
You can't get that many comics
deal.
Together. And
you know,
yeah.
We're not docile. Yeah. We're not, you know what I mean?
Right.
We
none of us.
Know,
right.
Men
exactly.
have strong personalities, so why can't we?
It right. Was, no, the conversation was so
and
good.
It was so good. It was like, everybody was like this. Glued. Their eyes were glued to the panel.
Yeah. I mean, I think.
They
think
had so much to offer.
Right. And what we really talked about, just to cue folks in that weren't at the conference, we were talking specifically about mentorship. Mm-hmm. That's where the conversation started.
Anyway. Yeah, yeah.
That was the structured plan part of the conversation where everybody was giving me their Twitter-length answers. Just kidding. No, it was great. I mean, you know, the conversation went where the conversation went, but I think we started at mentorship and then explored a lot of different sort of.
And kind of like also, what does it mean then to be a mentor yourself now?
Right.
Depending on where you are and who you're around. And yeah.
Right.
And
how do you reach back? Mm-hmm. How have others reached back to help you? Mm-hmm. How do we lift each other up? How do we empower each other? Mm-hmm. Was sort of the gist of it. And I think that Neftari Spencer and DeHaley Hall, they were great. They came from more the improv and acting side of things, so they could enlighten us about sort of what it's like to be a woman in that space. And then Reed was able to sort of share some, I think, pointers. It sounded like maybe Reed has background in like organizing or labor.
Like, and they were talking about like
applying those kind of strategies to like organizing in our community. So that was interesting.
And to like inciting in people that are being mistreated, like, hey, yes, you are being mistreated, and how does that make you feel? Rather than just like watching someone be mistreated and then like letting it go.
Yeah, no, I think it was a good conversation, and I would have loved for it to go on longer.
For sure. Yeah,
me too.
So I think that's something that we're going to take under consideration for next year as we plan, is to carve out sort of a longer amount of time
the
panel.
It was episodic. I was like, well, I want more, but you had to wait till next time.
You know, right. Tune in next year.
Yeah, tune in next time.
When we pick this up. But yeah, I think the panel was really was sort of the highlight of all the highlights. I think the panel nailed it and were so great.
And us getting to talk to them.
Yes.
They were all just like, so it was so insightful. And yeah.
Yeah. Nika. Oh, how could I forget Nika?
Yeah,
she's fantastic. Yeah,
yeah.
So it was just all around.
I like how
good
Nika
times.
Came in with the struggle is real. I'm getting ready to Uber right after this.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, oh, that felt good.
It felt honest. You can relate to it. You're like, yeah, okay. So these are women that are successful and are still struggling with some of the same stuff I am as a 1 year, 2 year comic or 4 year,
right,
7 year
exactly.
comic. You know, it's like, you know, it's.
Because you wonder, like, what am I getting anywhere?
Yeah, like
what?
Am I just spinning my wheels?
Yeah.
This is how it always feels. Like, it's just like reassuring to hear stories from the, you know, trenches.
And I just saw on Facebook today, I just opened it, her in a new commercial. I'm like, and she's still Ubering. So you're thinking like, okay, I'm not so, you know,
it's
like
all the time. Dahlia Glick talked about that on her episode, the woman from Family Trio.
Oh yeah,
because she was on Scream Queens.
Okay.
And like her friends back home are always like, wait, so you still babysit? And she's like, yes, I still babysit.
Right.
I work at a yoga studio and I'm a server. And it, like,
yes.
The struggle is real.
Like, you know, like being on two episodes of Scream Queens paid for like 1 month's rent.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's it.
And maybe a good meal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not like a celebratory bottle of wine. It's not in syndication, bitches.
Yeah.
You're not getting residuals.
No.
It's not Seinfeld, right?
It's so funny though. People always think that like one job just fixes everything.
Yeah,
they think one job just fixes everything.
Yep.
I mean, I'll take the one job.
I do too.
Sure.
No, don't get me wrong.
No.
It helps.
Every little bit, right?
Just to pay up 2 months rent. Let me sit down for me. No, 30 days come by so fast.
Like, you know what's so funny? It's so hard to be creative when you're constantly stressed about, you know,
exactly
other bullshit.
And that was talked about on the panel too.
Yeah.
About how important it is to have.
I
love it.
Yeah.
Because you think you're by yourself, and that makes you start feeling isolated. You know what I mean? You're
like anxiety, and you're in your head, and
it's
like, you know,
you're like,
your fault.
I'm the only
like,
one that's
I'm a failure. And, my ideas suck. And, like, it just spirals.
Vampires.
You know? I don't know. I'm really trying to work on some mind, body, spirit shit.
Me too.
Personally right now. Like, just to get all that in line. You know, there's some positive flow, energy flow around me.
I'm trying to. I had an experience, because just running and working and trying to keep everything up, and I had an experience that made me confirm to trust myself more, you know, because I got out of the car real fast at work to try, because we got to take a picture and let them know we're there, and I thought I locked my keys in the car, so I had convinced myself, oh my God, I got out so fast, I don't think I had my keys. I called AA, AAA, everything. I didn't have a membership, so I had to pay like $70.
Yeah.
Came out. Do you know when the man came out there, my keys were in my pocket?
No.
And my conscience said, trust yourself more. And I said, that's what I have to do moving forward.
Why
didn't I check? What the hell stopped me from just checking in the back of my pocket?
Right.
I had nothing else to do before I called and paid.
Mm-hmm. Just to talk. Yeah. But, you know, it's like, just slow down and trust yourself more. You know?
Yeah, no, it's true. Be present. I think it's all about being present in your life and it's just like really with other people and in situations, like really trying to be like, okay, this is.
And like knowing that
you're not thinking like far ahead or in the past, you're just where you are.
Yeah. Well, and knowing that like, even if it's like, even if there's a rainstorm right now, like legitimately above every rainstorm, there's always blue sky somewhere.
Yeah.
And that's like actually true of nature.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening in your brain.
That's so positive.
It's
yeah.
like there's definitely like you're going to have rainstorms and that's going to happen. And like that has
it's
to
okay.
happen.
Yeah, right.
That's supposed to happen. That's like nourishing.
A psychopath.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right.
But just remember.
No fear.
Yeah.
I don't trust you.
Yeah. But just remember that like they're always somewhere up there. There's always that. Okay, so after the panel that you guys did, there was like this group situation happening. What was happening with that? There was like goals being set.
Yeah, so one of the other components of sort of the panel, sort of part of the panel was, you know, let's not just talk about these things, but like what, so we had this discussion, now what is essentially
right.
what the think tank portion of the event was supposed to be about, where we broke off into sort of smaller groups and we had think tank leaders, just sort of women that we identified in the community that, you know, wouldn't be afraid of speaking up, speaking out, reporting out and that sort of thing. And just sort of coming together and having, you know, more intimate conversations about like, what does that empowerment really look like? What are some tangible steps we can take to be doing that actively? What like, who has a show? Who's working on a thing? You know what I mean? Like just actual stuff. And those conversations sort of, I think, probably were very organic too and went a bunch of different places. But it all, we really centered it around how do we empower each other? How do we empower ourselves? What does it actually look like beyond just talking about it? Because if we're just talking about it, who cares?
Right, exactly.
It's got to be that next step. So I think people came up with sort of some action plans, some concrete ways that they can support each other and work toward that as a goal.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You got to have a goal, too. I mean, that's the thing. You could talk about a lot of projects, which you do with a lot of different people.
Yeah.
But you don't get to that next step a lot of times. Where it's like, okay, how do we strategize the next step? And they don't, you know, they're like, oh, you just stuck at trying to get a date where you can meet.
A lot of stuff just dies on the vine before it even has a chance to thrive.
Exactly.
Because, you know,
so
life or what resources or whatever the case may be.
You don't recognize your resources. That was a good tool, a good situation to recognize their resources. Like you said, who has the show? Who has this? You'd be surprised how you can pull everything. And
right. Exactly right.
Yeah. Go to the next level, but I don't know. It has to be done. So this is a good platform.
Yeah, I think it's a great start. Our next event is going to be in November.
Oh, that's good.
As far as I know, it's sort of tentatively scheduled for November 8th, which is a Wednesday night. Venue TBD. I'm looking for a space right now, but it'll be more. We'll start with the speed networking, and then it'll be more of sort of like a creative jam. Meet new creative partners, more focused on the performing and writing piece of things. And then we'll sort of break up in smaller groups, pair people up. You know, oh, I've never tried sketch writing. Well, let me join like the sketch writing group over here.
Oh, yeah,
hey, I've never done improv. Why don't we, you know, play some improv games and warm up and like do something at the end. So at the end, we're going to have a performance of sort of the things that were created there that night.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll have cocktails. It'll be like a nighttime event. So it'll be, a little bit different. The Sunday afternoon event was more, you know, working and thinking and organizing and planning. And this is more sort of the creative
like
side
fun.
Of things, collaboration, having fun, making relationships, you know.
Right before the new year too.
Yeah, right. So it'll be before the holidays, before everything gets freaking crazy. And then hopefully, you know, people can set some intentions for, you know, what they want to do. Because we all know this town shuts down after basically the middle of November.
Yes. It's so true.
To January.
It's so
first
true
week
because,
of,
like,
so.
Everything I've been thinking of plans in my brain and I'm like, well, that's not going to work because.
Yeah, you basically lose like a month and a half.
Yeah.
In LA specifically.
That's why I write
I
so much during that time.
Well, and then there's the holiday parties and like whatever. Like for me, my birthday is in that whole mess.
Oh.
I go back east.
Oh, yeah,
like, yeah, you know, it's just like a constant thing. So anyway, hopefully people can come in November.
Yeah.
It'll be another free event. always appreciate the donations. A lot of people threw us some cash, which was dope.
That's good.
And allowed us to, like, you know, make copies and, you know, make it nice, you know, like the basic stuff, you know.
Right.
But, yeah, so this will be cool. It'll be more of a, it's called Up All Night Creative Collaboration Event, and should That's be cute.
Fun. Cocktails and creativity.
Yeah, and then we'll put on a show. Hey, yeah. let's put on a show. We'll put on a show at the end.
Yeah,
and,
I
you know,
join
new relationships. New, yeah.
Just to do it.
I've yeah, just check it out and see, like,
That's
you know.
Fun.
I think it'll be fun.
Yeah, that's super great.
And then we'll super have another active. Event. Our final big event for the year will be in February. And it's called Love Letter to Myself. And it's a stand-up show featuring fantastic, funny, fierce females. Obviously don't have a venue for that yet, but it'll be a ticketed show and be able to raise some money that way and, you know, give women stage time. Yeah. And it should That's be really, great. Really dope. So looking to put
What's
that
the name
up.
Of it?
Love Letter to Myself.
Oh, it's
so it'll be right around Valentine's Day. Yeah. And it'll just be, take some time to celebrate ourselves and each other. It'll be
yeah,
cool.
So nice.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love how supportive this is. I love that this has spread now out of Chicago. This is so great. And I feel like it's like we're like building because, you know, the social media, again, like you guys' social media aspect of everything is so great, too, because all day during the events that was happening in Chicago and happening in New York.
Yes.
And I was able to like go on the social media and like look at what they were doing.
Right.
And,
which is so cool feel, to know that yeah. not only are you connected to women, and this is here. One thing that I love about this organization, not only am I connected to women here in Los Angeles that are stand-up, sketch writers, storytellers, other improvisers who I normally don't ever cross. So it's like connecting with all those different women here,
right.
but then also that in D.C.
Yeah.
and in Chicago and in New York City. And so if you ever want to go on the road or,
exactly.
you know, you want to just meet other comedians
totally.
In other cities, like do some networking, like check out some shows, support their shit.
Yeah.
Now you have a network that is literally coast to coast
yeah.
that can do that. We're going to look to expand into more cities next year. So, you know, people that are in cities that are other than D.C., New York, L.A., and Chicago and have, you know, the time and energy and passion to put into creating a chapter, you know, hit us up at, you know, womenincomedy.org and let us know. And, you know, we're looking to grow this and be like a real nationwide presence to support women in this industry because, quite frankly, we don't have a lot of it and no one's going to do it for us. So this is a way to do that for funny women by funny women.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love it.
Yeah, I just think it makes you more fluid. Like when I go to New York, I don't want to just go there with strangers and not know anybody and beg for stage time. Instead, I have a network of people
right.
I can talk to.
Great.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
And like,
I go to Chicago and I have a network of people. You know what I mean?
Right, absolutely. Like, at least people that will be able to point you in the right direction.
Yeah, something.
Or like, hey, you can meet up with maybe this person at a mic.
Yeah.
Or hey, they have an extra, maybe they have an extra spot. They're running a show.
Yes.
Like, or I know someone who is, you know? Or even if it's just like making that personal connection so the next time you go, you will have an actual friend that you can reach out to. So,
exactly.
you know, it's just, it is. It's all about connecting and empowering and advocating for women doing the work that we do.
Yeah, that's great. All right. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
Yes. Part of the conference. We can't wait for the
next
one.
Yay.
Yes.
Well, I hope I'll see you guys at Up All Night in November, November 8th, tentatively. Stay tuned for more info about that. Thank you so much for being there. I think it really added a lot to have you guys there and interviewing people.
Good.
And it made it feel like a fish or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was really
cool. We felt
cool.
important.
Yeah. You guys had your corner. You guys were holding us down. So thank you guys so much for being a part of it and for doing Act Like a Girl and, you know, again, just giving a voice to women in comedy. It's great.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like, again, the Julie magic. You are the like, you connected us together in the first place. So, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Hey.
It's true.
See?
On Facebook.
So
it started on Facebook.
It all started with the Facebook post.
Yeah. All started with Facebook post.
Yeah,
and she was crushing on you. And I was like, this is awesome.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I did not remember that. But I'm so glad you just reminded me. See, this is like, this isn't brain surgery.
I love
like,
that.
Just literally,
yeah.
this
just
can happen.
To,
you just have to be
and I love crushing on
I started acting like a girl because I'm like, this is already happening, everybody.
Yes.
I'm just going to show you.
Yeah. Yes.
Where
I love
it's
it.
Already happening.
What a great platform to do that, too.
Yeah.
Thanks. Okay. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.